time and more with the Lord, and I've done that for years. But I also don't like to let very many minutes go by to what I'm not communicating with God. And you know, communication is one of the ways to keep yourself encouraged. You know, when you have friends or you have people, well in our family, I don't just talk to my family when I want something from them. I communicate with my family. I talk to my family. And you know what? It's good. But if I only talk to them when I wanted something, it wouldn't be a very good relationship, would it? You know, Pastor Bob and I are great friends, and you know, I can't remember asking him for anything in our 20-something years that we've had a real close relationship. But, you know, many times and you know, Pastor Bob, you're not going to talk to him at all unless he's going to say to you, is there anything I can do for you? You know, well, I appreciate that, but I never call Pastor Bob or talk to him, have lunch with him, meet with him, thinking that he's going to do something for me or asking him to do something for me. But many times, that's the only time we approach God, is when we want God to do something for us. Now, if you want him to do something, that's the right thing to do. But at the same time, we need to give God a time of just saying, I love you, I worship you, and thank him for his goodness, rather than just asking him for something or wait until you're desperate. You know, now when you're desperate, you definitely do need to go to God when you're desperate. So I'm not telling you not to do that, but don't wait till you're desperate before you go to God. Amen? And it says, men ought always to pray and not faint. You know, we have a weekly prayer meeting at our church, which it's not daily at the moment, but we have a weekly prayer meeting at our church. And we meet together, and you know what? Sometimes the glory of God that comes down in that prayer meeting is just as powerful and great as the church services. Because we're not only in our prayer meeting time, we're not only asking God for things. We do, because the Bible said to ask, but that's not all we're doing. But we're praying, we're communicating, we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord and encouraging others. So I want to encourage you tonight, if something's happened in your life, don't faint. Now, the word faint has several, first of all, the Greek word that's translated, it's translated from a Greek word, ekkeo, ekegoa, which means to utterly be spiritless, to be weary and exhausted. And so I see sometimes Christians really exhausted, really weary, and really spiritless, and come into church, and when they come into the church, they're spiritless, they're exhausted, and it seems like they just can't break that barrier. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you tonight. If you're exhausted and you've walked by faith and you hadn't seen the answers yet, don't give up. God is still there. Now, all of us have times that we go through seasons, and when we go through these seasons, we don't enjoy the seasons that's there, but we can still enjoy the goodness of God. Is that right? Now, the word faint has several meanings from Webster's dictionary, and he says that faint could be weak, dizzy, likely to faint, lacking strength or vigor, lacking of courage and spirit. A faint noise you can hear, the faint glow of a distant light, a faint smile on her lips. There's just a faint chance that the weather might improve tomorrow. That's one of the definitions. So when you look and you see faint has different aspects, I want you to begin to think about the times that you might have felt faint. You know, it also happens when people have a drop in blood pressure or something and they faint, and they no longer can keep on functioning. I remember when my wife was expecting our second child, we were in Detroit, and I was preaching in this church there, and where we were staying was in a home, and she was at the upstairs, and I was downstairs. And I walked by, and all at once, I saw my wife lying on the floor and our baby on the floor playing. Well, I, you know, took a minute and prayed with her, and she came to. She was expecting our second child. So her blood pressure didn't do what it was supposed to do, so she fainted. You know, a few weeks later, we were in Tennessee, and we were in a Kmart, and we were walking along, and I looked, and she's lying on the floor, and so I went over and helped her up. She fainted again. So I don't know how many of you have ever fainted, but fainting, you just sort of, you know, you lose consciousness, and you just get out, and you don't know, you just don't know anything. I remember one time my second son, my first son, he got cut real bad under the chin, under his chin. I took him to the hospital, and the doctor said, "You want to come in here?" And I said, "Well, sure." He said, "Now, you're not going to faint on me, are you?" I said, "Oh, no, blood doesn't bother me. No, this doesn't bother me." So he started sewing my son up, and next thing I know, somebody had some stuff, and they were trying to get me to come too. And I was lying on the floor, and he said, "I thought you said you wasn't going to faint." And I said, "Well, I thought I wasn't, but you see, things come to us. As I just described fainting, sometimes things come to us in the natural realm or the spiritual realm, and you find yourself fainting. But I want to help you tonight that you will not faint. Now, I talked about the natural faint, that I lost consciousness, but I want you to realize you can walk through anything that comes your way. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, this is one of my favorites in the Bible. And of course, you know, if you ever hear me preach on a scripture, it's always my favorite. But this is surely one that just blesses me, and it's in Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. It says, "He gives power to the faint." Everybody say, "He gives power to the faint." Come on, say that really good. "He gives power to the faint." See, "And to them that have no might, he increases strength." And then verse 31, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, I've just put myself in overdrive, and I have decided that, you know, I am on this journey to finish. I'm not on this journey to find fault and to look around and talk about the problems. I'm on this journey to live my life and walk with God and enjoy every moment that I can possibly enjoy, and encourage you to hold your head up and let Jesus be Lord of your life 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Jesus is Lord, but let him be Lord of your life. You know, some of the seasons of your life when you feel like you might become faint-hearted, when someone walks out on you and betrays you. You know, that's terrible when somebody walks out on you and when you're betrayed. Isn't that terrible? I mean, you know, you may have invested, you may have done all kinds of things, but somebody betrays you. And you know what? That's a hard and a tough thing to do. But Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you to the end of the world." Well, you know, when somebody betrays you, you know, you can try to get even, you can fight back, you can do all of these things, or you can just put the line there and say, you know, they walked out of my life, they're not a part of my destiny anymore, so therefore, you say, "Well, it's not that easy." I didn't say it was easy, I just said you make a decision that you're going to draw the line and you're going to go on with God regardless, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Now, what do you do when you're betrayed? Do you get into anger? Do you get into bitterness? Do you get into unforgiveness? You know, just recently we know someone, you know, they're most likely a good person, but, you know, someone betrayed them, and you know, they came and they were saying, "You know, I was betrayed and this is so bad." And you know, they went out and got drunk. But you know what? They were still betrayed after they got drunk. It's amazing how people will do dumb things. Everybody say dumb things. See, people will do dumb things, but after this person got drunk, then they still had the same problem to deal with, but it got worse.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, it's something your flesh will do that people somehow think that fainting, losing heart, getting discouraged when something happens, it doesn't do you any good to get discouraged. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know what? I may not understand your particular situation, but I understand loss. I understand betrayal. Amen? If you've gone through a bad divorce, you know, I've seen people go through bad divorce, and I just mentioned a few minutes ago about my wonderful wife, and I thank God for that. And I don't know what it is to go through that, but I have compassion for people that go through a bad divorce. Probably people here tonight have experienced that, but you know what? You're still here. You're still here. And so realize if something bad happens, don't lose heart in God and His Word. Are you still here tonight? You know, perhaps you've had this job and you've lived and you know you've worked on this job and it's been a great job, but all at once something happens and you lose that job, or somebody says something and or something changes and you lose the job. Well, you know, sometimes people just feel like, well, that was my lifeline. That was how I paid my bills. Well, you know what? God is bigger than your job. See, you got to realize that God is your source. You know, I remember about 3 years ago, my wife and I, we went through a time, some things happened in our finances and they changed. Well, you know, I didn't like those moments of what happened with our finances. It wasn't something that I was really happy about, that our finances had taken a big dip. That wasn't something to shout about, but I had something inside to shout about. And you know, we had built this beautiful home, and it was absolutely the most. I'm just going to exhort a little bit tonight. And you know, I built this home. It was beautiful. I designed it. The architect laid it out, and man, one person liked it so much that they built one just exactly like it. And so, you know, it was awesome. My wife, she decorated every room and every color in the different rooms. Everything was done just so immaculate and so perfect and right. And you know, the time came that it wasn't working. The income wasn't there supporting that. So we had to make a decision that we're going to get rid of that home. Well, you know what? That wasn't something I really wanted to do. But you know what? I just drew the line in the sand. We moved out. Somebody else bought the house, and we moved on.
Hallelujah.
Right. Oh, come on. Somebody help me out here a little bit. You said it wasn't that simple. I didn't say it was that simple. I'm just telling you, I drew the line, and I didn't stay over there grieving about what I no longer had. I rejoiced in the Lord that I know that He was setting us up for a comeback. Now, every time something happens to you that you can't control, instead of you getting into all of that loss and all of that pain and wallowing into self-pity and beginning to faint, you just walk over there and say, Lord, I know somehow, I don't understand maybe why it happened, or my decisions may not have been right at the time. They may not have been the decision I should have made, but I know one thing. I'm keeping my eyes on the hand of God, on the eyes of Jesus, the Word of God. And I'm not going to faint because you still got something better for me. You know what? If you walk out of the job, you know, there's a man in our church, you know, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I came in here and you always preach and encourage me, and I had this awesome job. He said, it was so awesome. But he said, I walked in there one day, and when I walked in, they said to me, well, you know, we just decided that we got too many people here. He said, the pay was awesome. The job was awesome. It was a dream job. But he said, they just told me, said, we're letting you and a few others go because it's just too much. He said, I looked at him and he said, well, thank you for the time that you let me work here. I did my best, and if it wasn't what you needed, I know I gave my best to you, and so thank you for allowing me to do what I have done. And he shook hands with him, and he walked out, and when he walked out, he came home and told his wife, he said, I just got dismissed from my job today, and God has something better for us. Oh! Somebody said, now that didn't really happen. Yes, it did. And you know, they told him, they said, well, we'll give you any kind of recommendation. We will give you the best recommendation possible. And you know what? A few weeks went by and that other job didn't come. A few more weeks went by and that other job didn't come. But he came into church every Sunday and he was not blaming that company. He was not throwing stones at that company. He was not saying bad things about them. All he did was say, Pastor, I just know one thing. God's got something better for me. God's got something better for me. And you know what? He was putting in resumes and doing everything. But all at once, somewhere he didn't put a resume. Somebody called him and they said, I heard that you needed this kind of a job and that you got expertise here. And he said, well, that's exactly what I do. And when they did, they hired him and his pay's a lot better. Everything's a lot better. God just put him in a place for a Holy Ghost setup. Now, you can faint or you can decide to go on.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
I mean, nobody likes it when the money stops. You know, my wife's got on our sink, she's got one of them little things, you know, you just touch it and the water starts and the water stops and it has a battery on it. Well, the other night I came in there and I touched it and it didn't work. Well, I called my son. I didn't know what to do. And he said, well, Dad, I don't know. I'm over here and you're over there. I said, well, it's not even, you can turn it on and it won't even work. He said, well, Dad, I don't know. He said, look underneath and see if the batteries are dead. I said, well, where's the batteries? So he told me where the batteries was, and I looked, and it had fallen, and a couple of batteries had fallen out, and I put them back in, and I touched it, and it started flowing. Well, see, it's not a good thing when the flow stops, but I just was trying to find out how to get the flow back. I didn't curse the tap because it didn't work. I wanted to know how to get it. I think I'm about to run here, because too many times we start getting angry and bothered at something or somebody. No, that's not the thing to do. What you want to do is figure out how to get it back, how to make it work again. Amen. You know, if you feel rejected, so what? If somebody rejects you, so what? As I said a while ago, that's only one person or two persons or 32 persons or 66 persons. There's millions that hadn't rejected you. Somebody said, now that's just not sensible. Well, it is with me. That's how I live my life. You know, have you ever been in around people sometimes and maybe all at once they're inviting this one and they're inviting them and they're inviting them to do something and you don't get invited, or else you have known people and all at once something happens and you've been associated with that and they normally invite you and all at once you didn't get invited to something and you said, well, I just don't know why I didn't get invited to that. Shut up. Why go there? Why lose heart? Why faint over something that you don't even know anything about? Why don't you just turn around and say, I got the opportunity to do what I want to do?
Yeah. All right.
Maybe I'm the only one happy here this evening. But you see, too many times we're chasing the wrong. And we get over there and we lose heart and we faint. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. The Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait there also means listen. So they that listen to the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'll tell you one thing. God is doing something in this land right now, and I'm going to be a part of it. Amen. So if you feel rejected or somebody didn't do right or somebody at work didn't treat you right, don't stay in it. Just go do something nice for them. Well, now, I just don't believe that, Brother Clowers. Brother Clowers, you just don't know how they treated me. Now, Brother Clowers, don't be Brother Clowers and me. Just go do the right thing. Somebody said, well, how can I do that when they did that to me? Just heap up coals of fire on their heads, what the Bible says. You know, that's what I do. I just will do something nice for people. I'll send them cards, and they may even tear it up. But it doesn't matter to me. I did the right thing. Amen. You know, I don't know if I told you this story or not, but it bears repeating. But this lady's in our church, and she was just believing for a promotion, and they gave it to somebody else. Well, the lady that was looking for the promotion, she was an African-American lady, wonderful lady. And they gave it to a white person, the promotion to a white person. And so she came to me and she said, and she was really mad and she was really upset. And she said, I'm just going to go and sue her. And I said, well, yeah, go ahead. That's the thing to do. She said, now, why would you say that? I said, because that's what you said. She said, but I know that's not what you would do. I said, well, you're telling me what you can do. So I said, just go sick them. Go ahead. She said, no, Pastor, what do you think I should do? I said, I think you should go be nice to her. She said, I don't like her. I said, that's more of a reason to be nice to her. So she did some things and got that promotion, and she didn't deserve it because I'm the one that deserved it. And I said, well, that may be true, and I don't know. But I said, you know, you can go and you can file charges and you can do all of these things, you know, because of discrimination, you know. And I said, you can do all of that. But I said, you know, you can also turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord work it out. She said, I knew you was going to say that eventually. And I said, hey, you're a beautiful lady. I said, you're talented. You're smart. You don't have to get caught up in all this mess. I said, you're smart, you're quick, you're thoughtful. I don't know the other lady, but I said, you probably can outwit her in 2 seconds. She said, obviously not. She got the promotion. I said, you're thinking the wrong thoughts here. God's got something bigger for you. She said, that's so easy for you to say because you're not in my dilemma. I said, no, but go in and make her coffee or get her a Starbucks or get her some roses. No! How could you even tell me to do something like that? I said, because the Bible said to pray for those that have despitefully done you, love your enemies and do something good for them. So she came back and she said, I got her coffee. She said, I didn't want to, but I did. I got her coffee. Said, and she smiled at me real big when I got her coffee. Said, she's my boss now. Said, before she wasn't my boss, but she's my boss. And I said, well, you know, maybe take her some flowers one day. And she said, you know, just give you that look. So a few weeks, few days, I don't remember, later she came in and she said, I took her some flowers. And said, you know, I'm kind of liking her. I said, really? She said, yeah, I'm kind of liking her. And, you know, I said, well, you know, if you just... I said, you may not control all of your circumstances, but learn to control you. I said, that's what I'm trying to teach you, is to control you. And if you can control you and let the Holy Ghost work you, then God can change your circumstances. And so I remember, you know, she kept coming to me with little things. And, you know, a few months later, she came back, and boy, did she have the biggest smile on her face, and she was just glowing. And she said, "Pastor, I just got to tell you, they have brought me in for a promotion. And they told me they've been watching my attitude over the change that they made." They've been watching how I handle relationally the relations in the office and with the lady that got promoted. And we watched how you handled this, and we found out you're a great people person. I won't do one of those runs. I'll tell you, I want to run so bad around this church right now, because that little man on the inside of me, you may not see him right now, but I mean, he is playing tambourines, he's beating drums, he's playing guitar and organ and piano. I'm telling you, he is saying something good is happening to you, that there is no need for you to get caught up in the wrong thoughts and be weary, but just keep going. Amen? And you know what happened? When they called her in, they said, "We're going to put you over another department, and this department will actually be over the department that this lady is over you. This department, you'll actually be her boss." Wow. Somebody let the Holy Ghost laugh through you right now. Will you let the Holy Ghost laugh through you? People that's watching the live stream, I'm really not crazy. I'm just full of the Holy Ghost. Know I was going to get up here and act this way tonight. I don't normally act this way, folks. But you know, when that lady came in and she said, "The raise I got's incredible." She said, "This is beyond anything I could ever hope or dream or ask." And I said, "Well, how is the other lady taking it?" She said, "Oh, she is just so happy for me. She is so happy for me." And she said, "You know what? She is in a spot. If she stays in that company, she can never move any higher. So if I would have gotten that job, I would have never gotten the job that they just offered me." See, sometimes it just takes a little patience. Just a little patience. I remember years ago, must have been about 30-something years ago or more, maybe a little more, but I remember I joined the spa, and I thought, "Well, you know, I want muscles. I'm going to join the spa, and I'm going to get strong, and I'm going to get big chest, you know, and big arms, big muscles, and I'm going to get me some shirts, and I'm going to wear me some nice shirts where I can show my physique off." And I went in, and I joined the gym, and this guy come up, you know, and he introduced himself, and he says, "I'm your trainer." I said, "Man, I'm telling you, I want to look like you." You know, he had all of the parts. I touched him with his arm. I said, "I want muscles just like this. I want this, and I want the small waist." And I begin to go through. He said, That's good. Just be patient." I said, "No, I don't want to be patient. I want muscles." He said, "Well, we'll get there. Well, he took me through the routine, you know, the first day. And man, it was easy. I said, "Man, this is nothing." And he said, "Now, come come back tomorrow and we'll do something. And every day we'll go. And he said, eventually we'll increase the weights and we'll go on. So I said, all right. Well, after he left, I went back and did the same routine. But I added everything on, way a whole lot more than he had put on there. And I just kept doing repetitions over and over again. Oh, I mean, I worked and I sweated and I worked and I looked at my arms and I got in front of the mirror. And, you know, I would just look at myself and I could just see myself growing. So I'd go back and pick them up again and, you know, I would do the barbells again and again and I'd go over and look in the mirror and I would check myself out and I'd say, I know my muscles are getting stronger and getting bigger. They're swelling up. And then I went and got into the hot tub. And when I got in the hot tub, oh, I mean, that's just, you know, it felt good for a little while, but a little while I began to faint. And man, after a while I tried to get out, and my knees would just buckle, you know, and finally a guy said, what's wrong? You all right? You look like you're about to faint. I said, no, I'm getting muscles. I'm getting muscles. So finally he helped me out, and they had a little counter in there, you know, where you get them smoothies. Well, I went down three smoothies. I had three smoothies, so everything that I did, I got rid of it. But I remember going home, and before I went to bed that night, I took my shirt off, and my wife was there, and I said, look at me. I said, just look. She said, why don't you go to bed? Why don't you get into bed? She wasn't impressed at all. But you know, I got up the next morning. And when I woke up the next morning, there was nothing that worked except my eyelids. That was all that would move. I couldn't even turn my head, it hurt. And my wife finally had to help me get out of the bed. I was so sore, I couldn't get out on my own. I couldn't even go in the office, it was so bad. And I remember going back into the gym. I waited several days before I went back to the gym. And the trainer, when I went back in several days, I'd gotten rid of some of the soreness. And he said, well, how are you? He said, I've been missing you. I said, yeah, you have, haven't you? I said, I haven't been here for a few days. I didn't tell him what I did. I knew better. But you see, many times we lose heart because we try to make it happen too. See, many times, instead of allowing the time that is necessary for that seed to grow and produce, we try to make it on our own. And when we try to make it on our own without the help of the Holy Spirit, and then when it doesn't happen, you lose heart or you lose faint or you get discouraged. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've really realized, and I said it a few minutes ago, when you're rejected or treated bad at work or you've been overlooked for some good deed you've done, you can become offended. Now, an offended person is very touchy. An offended person is insecure. An insecure and offended person is very, very touchy. And so what you have to realize is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you gives you power to make good choices, but it's up to you to yield to the power to make that choice. You know, just like the scripture in Deuteronomy 8:18 didn't say that God gives you wealth. He said he gives you power to get wealth. Well, we have power to control ourselves in situations when they're not right instead of letting and allowing the situation to control us. Well, the lady that got the promotion that I was speaking about a few minutes ago, you know, she looked back and she said, what if I had made the wrong choices in my offense? When I was offended, she said, when I came to you, what if I had have stayed in that offense and didn't follow the direction of controlling my emotions and my attitude? She said, I would have never come to the place that I am now and have the position and the promotion and the extra income that I have if I had not have made the right choice. So the Bible says in Luke 18 and 1, men ought always to pray and not faint. So when something goes wrong, remember Luke 18 and 1. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And then remember 40 and 29 of Isaiah. Isaiah 40 and 29. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. To them that have no might, he increases their strength. You know, when you come to a place and you're walking in this journey and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, you know, you just really don't care. You just really don't care about surroundings and things because you know God is your source and he's going to take you through one way or the other. Is that right? Now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago about a personal issue, about her house and all of that, you know, I could have gotten mad at God. I could have said and done a lot of things and complained. But did you know what? The problem, Pastor Bob, would have still been there. The situation would have still been the same. Or is anybody here? Now, I've had similar situations to happen several times in our lifetime. We've gone along and this has happened. And all at once it seems like you have a setback. But I always take our setbacks preparing me for a comeback. But any setback I've ever had, when I came back, I never came back to the same spot. I came way beyond where I was. So when the setbacks come, realize when the setbacks come, oh, I'm prepared for something better than I've ever had. Oh, somebody say praise God. You know, can I tell another story? Well, you know, this was a long time ago. But I remember I went to a place and I put my tent up and we had our tractor trailer there. And this was before our ministry grew to the point of we had 6 tractors and trailers and big tents and so forth. And we were in Indiana, and I'll never forget it. And we were taking the tent down and we were rolling it up. And I didn't have my car with me. I'd flown in. And so I'd been down at the tent grounds. And so I thought, well, I'll just get this big truck of ours and I'll just drive it to the hotel to take care of some business. Well, I shouldn't have been in no truck. But I got the truck and I drove it back to the hotel. And when I come out, I was in a hurry to get back down to where the men were at the tent, tucking the tent down. And you know, in that particular truck, you had to let it run a minute for the air brakes to work. And I remember this beautiful brand new Buick right behind me. And I put that, and there was another car in front of me, and I put that big old tractor in, you know, it was a big old diesel thing, you know, and I put it in reverse, and when I did, I hit the brakes. Well, you know what? Nothing happened on the brake part. The truck didn't stop. But it's got them big old steel things on it. You know how them big tractors are, and those steel things just said, right down that Buick's hood. And I'm watching it, and I'm hitting the brake, and nothing's happening. Obviously, that wasn't a happy moment. So I pulled the truck up and realized what I had done, and so I went in the hotel, and I said, whose car is this, and et cetera, et cetera. They said, oh, this gentleman stays here all the time. I said, well, I need to talk to him. Well, why do you need to talk to him? And I told him what I'd done. They said, no, not to him. This didn't happen to his car. See, have you ever been in not that situation, but a situation where it wasn't really good? Well, you know, I'm living these moments. I'm living these moments. But I knew I couldn't faint. I knew I couldn't faint. And it was financially really difficult. Or I wouldn't even been in that truck to begin with. But anyway, I went in and had to explain to the gentleman, and he was not a happy camper at all. But we worked it all out, and I went down to the tent grounds, and when I got down there, you know what? There was somebody walked up to me and said, you know, I just felt like that the budget wasn't met here. I hadn't cried, I hadn't complained, I hadn't said a word, and it wasn't. Or I wouldn't have been in that truck running an errand for myself. I'd had somebody doing something. And I said, really? And they said, yes. Well, you know what? They gave me the money that was needed. Are you listening? They said, I just felt led to give you this money. Now, the meeting was over. I was already supposed to have been gone. I was already supposed to have been on the airplane and was gone. Now, and they said, I feel like you've just gone through it. And we had the insurance and everything, but she said, but there was a deductible part. And it was a lady, and she said, but I feel, and her husband there said, but I feel like there's something extra that we need to do beyond the making the budget up here. Said, is there something? And I'm thinking, I just ran over a man's hood. I didn't say that. And we had on the big truck, we had a $1,000 deductible. And so on the insurance, and so I told her, and she said, well, here's $1,000 to take care of that. Now, what if I would have said, oh, God, why did, you know, I didn't lose heart. The Bible says that he will give strength. He will give strength. Somebody said he will give strength. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Well, you know what? That when that happened, I thought, well, you know, this is awesome, Lord. You're just taking care of me. And then we moved the tent to Florida. And this man had a big ranch of like 3,000 acres. And he took down part of his pasture fence and did everything. And this is a while ago, you know, a few years ago, back a number of years ago. And they really encouraged me to go there. And I thought, well, the town is so small and it's so far out, nobody will come. That's my thoughts. But I really felt impressed of the Lord to go. So we put the tent up. And, you know, God was just, people were coming from everywhere. I mean, they were coming from everywhere. God was healing the sick. Souls was getting saved. The lame was, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not just telling you stuff, but God began to move in a supernatural way. And one night I walked out on the platform, and back in those days I had a big prayer ramp. And this gentleman, just big, tall gentleman, he had overalls. He walked up, and he got by my ushers, and they almost got him. And I said, that's all right. Let him come on up. So he got up to me, and he said, Brother Don, he said, this evening, before the bank closed, I just had you on my mind. He was real, real Southern spoken. And I just had you on my mind. And I was in the bank. And I just felt like going and getting you in the ministry here a little check. And he had that check in his thing up here in his overalls. And he pulled that check out. And he said, I hope this will help a little bit. And it was a check for $17,000. Now, I had just come from all this stuff. We moved from Indiana to Florida. And you know what? I mean, the offerings were good, but this was... And so the next morning before the service began, I was in a little motorhome behind the tent, and he was walking up, and one of my men came and said, this gentleman's coming, and he wants to see you. I said, let him in. He said, I was in the bank this morning, just before I come to service, and I felt like you and your little wife needs a few days away after this meeting's over. And I said, well, we're not really planning anything. He said, well, you can start planning. He said, but when I was in the bank, I felt like getting you some money, and I got a little check for you. And it was a cashier's check, Brother Bob, for $5,000. Now, folks, things don't just happen, but things happen when you learn to let God be your strength. And that night during the service, before I got really preaching, all at once I saw this man get up out of his seat, and he's walking around, and the ushers are going. I said, just leave him be. He walked up there again, and he said to me, he said, Brother Don, after the morning service, I got so touched. God just touched me so much. He said, you don't even know. And he said, I just got to weeping because I was thinking about all the things that God has done in our life and how you just have ministered to us the Word of God without compromise. And he said, I was in the bank, and he said, I just felt like I ought to give some more money. So I got you this little check. And there's another little check for $17,000. Now, I could go on telling you folks more and more, but the next morning he came back again. And he said, you know, Brother Don, I was in the bank this morning. I thought, you go to the bank a lot. He said, I was in the bank this morning. And he said, I got to thinking about you and your little wife. And y'all going away, and that little bit of money I gave you. And he said, that ain't really enough money for y'all to really enjoy yourself. He said, I want y'all to enjoy yourself. I mean, he had a big cattle ranch. He had thousands of head of cattle, and I don't know what all he had. And I didn't know that. I thought he was just some poor guy sowing seeds. But he reached in his overall thing again, Pastor Bob, and he pulled out another check, and he said, here's another little check for you and your little wife, and here's another $5,000 check. Pastor Bob said, tell him you have a friend. You know, I could tell you how he did throughout the meeting. I almost didn't want to take the tent down. I'm just teasing now. But you know what? What if I would have fainted, Pastor Bob? What if I would have fainted? Now, in Luke chapter 18, we all know the story, and I won't go read it to you word for word, but in Luke chapter 18, when I read there verse 1, it talked about the parable. And what was the parable? The parable was when a woman needed approval from the judge to have something. And so when she went to the judge, the Bible said he was, he didn't care about people. It said that he didn't regard man, had no fear of God, and he didn't regard man. But the little woman didn't get herself concerned that he didn't fear God or regard man. She got herself concerned with getting her answer. See, that's what I want to leave with you about focusing on where you're going, focusing on getting through. Don't focus on getting caught in the problem and faint. And so she went to the judge, and the Bible said he didn't fear God or regard man, but that didn't matter to her. See, it didn't faze her. I don't know whether she went to his home. I don't know whether she went in the courtroom. I don't know where she went. The Bible doesn't really say. But she came, and he said, I'm going to give this woman her request lest she wears me out. Now, folks, this is what I'm saying. I want us to get our faith stretched. You know what? 3 weeks from today is going to be Easter. It's going to be Resurrection Sunday. Now, I don't know what the outreach has got planned, and I don't know all about this. I hadn't talked to Pastor Bob about any of this or not. But I'm telling you, Resurrection Sunday is a day when, you know, it's a large attendance day in most churches all over the nation. But I'm telling you, I'm just feeling like something should happen here this Resurrection Sunday. The Holy Ghost should come on you and people that you have invited, and they've said no, go back again. And if they say no, go back again. And if they say no, go back again. Woo. Bless you. Woo. See, and if you've sown a seed and you hadn't seen the results, sow another one. See, here this little woman was. She didn't get daunted by him saying no. She just kept coming and kept coming. And he said, I've got to do something. Well, let me tell you something. We've got to stand up as heirs of God. And this Resurrection Sunday right here at Calvary Cathedral, I'd like to see the Holy Ghost and the clouds of glory just fill this room and you be so stirred up. Why don't you make a covenant with me right now between now and 3 weeks this Sunday coming that you'll get 5 people and begin to pray and begin to believe God and say, Father, you're giving me favor with 5 people and I'm going to bring 5 people in the house of God, and they're going to hear the word of God, and they're going to understand what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. I'm telling you, I believe something is going to happen on Resurrection Sunday. I believe there's going to be a deliverance. I believe there's going to be a breakthrough. Make note of it. Make note of it. Start expecting. Go home and get those 5 people written down. And you begin to pray over those 5 names. It may be family members. It may be friends. It may be co-workers. It may be somebody at the gas where you get gas. Wherever it may be. But begin to believe God. You're going to bring 5 people in the house of God. Lord, you just bless her. You just bless her. You are blessed. Well, I'll tell you, I just believe you're going to have a not just a double portion, but just triple blessings. Blessings are going to overflow you. Blessings are going to overflow you. See, folks, just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. Like the little woman with the issue of blood. She just kept pressing in. I'm telling you, don't faint. The little woman didn't faint. She kept going back. You know, I got to tell you another story. You know, I really come from rednecks. I really do. I come from rednecks. Our family was rednecks. And my sister married a redneck. He was a moonshiner. He made moonshine. Sure did. He had a whiskey still and all that kind of stuff up there in them mountains in Tennessee. One day I was out in my sister's barn. I come in and I said to her, I said, well, you're coming up here the second time. Woo! Oh, my God, come up here. Whoa! Yeah! Yeah! Telling you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this house. the anointing. I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough for you, and don't sit back and begin to get weary and say it's not happening. Quit focusing on the problem and start focusing in on the answer. Don't faint. God will give you the strength. I went out there in my sister's, my brother-in-law's barn, and I saw all of these gallon jugs, hundreds of them, full of white or clear stuff. I thought it was water. And I told my sister, I said, there's a bunch of gallon jugs in your barn with water in it. She said, well, don't be fooling with it. That belongs to my husband. Well, you know, I was young and I didn't know. Oh, glory to God, something's happening in this house tonight. Something is happening in this house tonight. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is moving upon you, and you, if your finances has been bad, sow another seed. That's what I do. That's what I do. When we went through that dilemma I just told you about, when I got through, one of the things I did, I sowed a seed. Are you listening? See, I took money to the closing. All the money that I'd invested in that is all out. But you know what? God just set us up for a comeback. The real estate person that handled that for me didn't even say thank you for giving me this job. But you know what? When I got ready for the next one, the real estate said, I'm paying for it. I mean, and he's not a Christian. He just said, I want to pay all your, I mean, he wrote me a check. It wasn't something that's just kind of you bargain in. He wrote me a check. It had a lot of zeros on it. I said, well, you don't even know me that much. He said, I don't know. But he said, I knew your son, and he was such a good man. And I did a transaction for him, and now I'm getting to meet you. He said, I said, you're not even a Christian yet. He said, well, I guess I'm on my way, aren't I? I said, you got that right. Looky here. See, they're just pressing through. They're not. They hadn't fainted now. Somebody say thank you. Well, you know what? I'm gonna get in on this too. Well, anyway, my sister's husband, he just sort of always. You know, he finally quit that occupation and got in another occupation. And he was a Korean veteran and so forth, and from the Korean War. And well, bless you folks. I'll tell you, something's happening here tonight. Ooh, glory to God. Let the anointing flow here tonight. Come on, let the anointing flow. Let the anointing flow. Well, you know, my sister stayed with her husband, and as I said, he got a good occupation, and he quit that, but he never surrendered to the Lord. Never surrendered to the Lord. But just about 3 months ago, she wrote me a letter, and she said, I'm sowing a seed into the ministry that my husband will make a decision to serve God. She called me this week, and she said, she called his name, and she said, this week he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. She texted me this morning, and she said, he's never done this, but he got up, and he's going to church with me this morning. Come on, let's begin to praise and worship God right now. Come on, let's begin to praise and worship the holy name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Hey, you two over there. You two. Come here. Oh, thank you. I'm telling you, you just made a choice right now. The decision you made, there's going to be some breakthrough for you. Rabbi Taba Sata.
Let the glory of God come down on them right now. Let the glory of God be breakthrough.
Woo. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, I'm telling you, somebody has been set up for a comeback. Somebody is set up for a comeback. This is somebody's comeback night. This is somebody's comeback night. This is somebody's comeback night. I know I'm repeating this over and over again, but somebody is being set up in the Holy Ghost tonight, folks. Let's break the barriers. Let's break the yokes, and let's experience everything God says. Don't faint. Lord, every seed that's sown, whoever, how much, however it is, Lord, I just believe tonight the anointing is upon these seeds tonight, Lord. And there is increase. There is increase. You know, my brother-in-law just turned 80 years old. Just turned 80 years old. All this time, my sister had prayed. She had believed God 3 months ago. And she called me and she said in the week, she said, and he made another decision that I've wanted him to make for 2 or 3 years. And she said, the decision that he make is going to be monetarily really good for me. You know, when selfishness and sin and hardships are around you, you can't change people, but you can stay focused on God. Remember that statement. You can't change people, but you can stay focused on God. And if you'll have patience, as I talked about a minute ago, and don't lose heart, don't faint, my moonshiner brother-in-law gave his heart to God last week. He went to church today with my sister in another state. They live in another state. She called me just shouting and crying and worshiping God. She's 77 or 78, I don't remember. And she said, I've been praying all these years that God would touch his heart. And she said, when I sent you that letter and sowed that seed, she said, I knew in my heart that it was not going to be long until God changed him. I mean, I have witnessed to him. I have prayed in his face in a nice way. Don't misunderstand me. And I prayed, and he stood there and looked at me when I prayed. But God melted his heart, and he surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when I went into 2014, some of you might remember, I was over here right before, and I was just so excited and just told you it wasn't 2014 yet, but I was going to go into 2014 with great anticipation. Well, you know what? We're 3 months out now And some people, you know, this is the time in the gyms and things like that when people start dropping off and they start giving up. Well, you know what? My momentum has picked up. Oh. Telling you, the anointing of God, the anointing of God is in this house tonight. The Lord told me, he said, 2014, he said, there's going to be things that's going to happen that's going to bring breakthrough to my people. Oh. Yeah, go ahead and enjoy, sister. Just enjoy. Why don't we just enjoy the anointing? Let's just enjoy the anointing. Let's enjoy the anointing right now. There's some of your loved ones, it's been hard-hearted, and it seems like that just... it's impossible for them to change. The Spirit of the Lord is moving, and there's a tenderness that's coming. My sister said, and she called him by name, said, he's become so tender. He's become so tender. She said, Don, you just wouldn't know him. And when he got up early before me and said, I'm going to church with you. I want to go to church. Not because he was asked to go to church, but he wanted to go to church. And she goes to a Holy Ghost church. I hadn't talked to her this afternoon, but I know I'm going to get a good report. Well, I guess what I got here, it'll hold for another time. You know, I hadn't gone to see the Noah movie or anything, but I do have Noah, thinking about Noah on my mind. And I did see the trailer to the Noah movie, and the king came up to the king, and or to Noah in the movie and the trailer. And he walked up to Noah and he said, I don't remember the exact words, but he had said, I've got all these people behind me, and he was the king. And he looked at Noah and he said, you're alone. And I've got all these people behind me. And Noah, in the movie, looked at him and said, I'm not alone. It may look like you're by yourself. And you may look like you're outnumbered, but you're not alone. Now, I can't explain to you how I'm feeling at the moment. But I know for somebody right now, would y'all just move this for me? I know somebody right now. I know somebody right now. The Holy Ghost is helping you not to faint.
This year is not a hundredfold. It is Deuteronomy 111, 1,000 favor.
Woo! That's big. And I said, oh, she's just drunk. She's just drunk. Well, you know what? I'd rather stay drunk if that's what it is. See, that's the thing. Some people go get inebriated on the wrong things when the pain comes and they try to cover up the pain. And I don't say that critically. It's just a fact. Charlie, you used to do that all the time, didn't you? You just get... What? You just drink or what?
Just drink, drugs, just cover the pain.
Back when you got back, it's still there, wasn't it?
Still there. That's why you had to do more the next time.
Well, you see, why not do the opposite? You know, just pray and not faint. Instead of complaining, instead of finding fault, instead of talking about the problem, just pray and not faint. If you've been going through a hard time or a tough time and you want freedom tonight, you want this anointing on you, get out of your seat and come up here real quick. Anybody? Come on, real quick. I'm telling you. Hadn't you rather laugh now than cry and feel sorry for yourself and sad and you give all you have? I've been there and done that. Woo! Bless her, Lord. Just bless her. That 1,000-fold that she is prophesying about. Bless her that 1,000-fold in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I just sense the Holy Ghost. I just sense the Holy Ghost taking you into places. I sense the Holy Ghost giving you divine connections with people that you've witnessed to and ministered to. God's opening doors for you. I'm prophesying right now. God's opening doors for you. God's making ways for you. Now, don't stop. Don't stop. You know, the other day I was talking to a gentleman and he said, I'll do this for you and I'll do that for you. And he just started telling me all he's doing. And I didn't ask him. But the next day I got thinking about it and I thought, yeah, I think I'll have you do that. So I called him up and I said, I need you to do what you said you would do. He said, oh, okay. Well, he didn't do it. So I called him back and I said, you didn't do that. And he said, I know, but I'll do it. So I called him back because I was checking with the other person he was supposed to do. And I found out he didn't do it. So I called him and he wouldn't answer. So I left him a voicemail. So I texted him. I know I said that twice, but I text twice. And so I texted him. I'm going to text him three times. And I said, I'm going to keep calling you and I'm going to keep texting you till you do what you said you would do. And I knew he was reading my text. It said red. And I left him voicemails, and I left him more texts, and until I, and so finally, I got a text back. And he said, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Well, he asked me first, or I would never ask him. And he said, I did it. He said, I've done what you said. I've done what I told you I would do. And he said, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what's happened because I did what you told me to do. And he said, thank you for keep texting me and keep leaving me them voicemails. And he said, everyone I'd listen to, you is saying the same thing. And in the voicemail, I would say, I'm not going to quit calling you till you do what you said you would do. Whatever it is, folks, quit. Just be like that little woman in the Bible. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. I'm coming to lay hands on you. I'm going to start right over here. Oh, ushers, come on, because I'm anointed and I might run. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, I got to go all the way over here. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let this anointing flow. Let this anointing, come on, receive it when I touch you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, now, now. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Open.
Yes, in the mighty name. 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 Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. 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 Ha ha. Yes. Yes.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
How great.
Yes. Yes.
How great.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Our God.
Rabadaba. Rabadasa.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God. The splendor of the King, all in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness cries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great. And time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me.